We continue this morning in our series, The Whole Armor of God, looking at Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus. And today's message is on the breastplate of righteousness. Our first scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6. I begin reading at verse 10. Let us give our attention to the reading and hearing of God's holy word. Finally, writes Paul, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand the wiles, the tricks of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and belt your waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then our second reading later in the New Testament is the letter to Titus. It's the second chapter, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, speak to your servants, for we are listening this morning to your word. May we hear your word and apply it to our lives, that it may bring forth good fruit. In Christ's name, amen. Someone sent me a cartoon recently. That happens quite often, just so that you know. And this particular cartoon pictured Moses saying to God after he had received the Ten Commandments. The caption read, God, I placed the Ten Commandments on my Facebook page, but I don't have any likes yet. No likes. Let me say to you, the Ten Commandments are not designed to be liked. They are not so much as well to rob us of our faith, but they are rather given to us to lift us to living a whole new way, what God intends for us to be the best way for us to live. And that is a way of joy. We will be reading the Ten Commandments together in worship next Sunday on Memorial Day weekend as we think about our nation and the world and the need for standards like truth. And why is this important this morning? It's important because we live in a world which often devalues nowadays religious faith and religious activity like time together in worship, the worship of God. We live in a world that devalues righteous living, and I'll explain righteous living in the course of this message. We live in a world where Christians are now viewed oftentimes with suspicion, if indeed not scorn. Sometimes we are seen by some generations as outdated. We are one, some people say, one of many ways to choose how to live. We live in a polytheistic world, a world in which people worship very many different kinds of things and gods. And this was also, by the way, the experience of the Christians who lived there in Ephesus. Long ago, when they lived there, this was the situation they faced, and it is to which the words were originally written. They were living in a society which opposed their beliefs, that opposed their faith, and indeed it attacked their standards. And in such a setting, the Apostle Paul was moved to write to them, just as Titus was moved to write. But Paul writes, in a society which stands against your beliefs, He said to those Christians there, you need to put on the whole armor of God. And then he goes on. He goes on to outline each piece of armor, and he describes it to us in quite alert detail, and we'll be studying those pieces of armor for the next few weeks. Last Sunday, we looked at putting on the belt of truth and what that might mean in a world in which we encounter evil almost at every turn. The belt of truth. And today, we look at the breastplate of righteousness. For the Roman soldier in that day, the breastplate was much more than it sounded like. And you can just Google breastplate of a Roman soldier on the internet, and you can see what that breastplate might have looked like. There are examples of breastplates that have been discovered from that period of time that Paul wrote. And you can see that they were made in the images that you will find on the internet of tough, stiff metal, shiny metal, in fact. And it covered not just the front of the soldier, but it covered the back as well. It went from the neck all the way down to the hips. And it served, you see, as protection. Protection for the upper body of that Roman soldier, particularly the heart. The heart was protected from arrows and perhaps the spear of the enemy when it was thrust upon the soldier. It would bounce off that beautiful, shiny, metal, full coverage armor. It was important. It was important then, and Paul's saying it's important to us now, today. And so I've already mentioned righteousness, so let me describe it more fully. For the Apostle Paul, righteousness simply meant right living. Right living. And so the best way to keep your heart safe in living in this world is to live by the standards that God has given us. I walked through the education building this morning and I noticed on one of the chalkboards, and yes, we have chalkboards still in every room. We'll have to update that at some point. But on the chalkboard was written, it must have been from the Sunday school class for adults there. It read on the wall, we do things God's way, not ours, not our way. And that's true. That's why the Ten Commandments were given to us. It's why Paul says to us, put on the belt of truth. Have a standard and stick to it. Put on the breastplate of right living, of righteousness. I want to say to you, I was reading this past week, I've heard some time ago that there is a particular group in our country that likes to get together and make up lies for fun. I had never heard of such a group, and so I looked it up, and sure enough, in Burlington, Wisconsin, there is a group known as the Liars Club, and they have been around since 1929. You can actually go on the internet, and they list the tall tale that has won every year since 1929 some grand prize. But I read that for $1 and one tall tale, you can become a card-carrying member of the Liars Club. I think I did that this week. They made up some whoppers over the years. Some are good and some are rather corny. For example, one member told a lie about a fog that was so thick one early morning that when they chopped down a tree, it would not fall until the fog cleared. That's a thick fog, isn't it? Another said, and I told my wife this one, though she's not lazy, but one said his wife was so lazy that she fed the chickens popcorn so that when she fried those breakfast eggs, they would turn themselves over. Another said, and there were a lot of men telling these jokes, there were women also, but there were a lot of men. One said, my wife's clothes were taking over the closet, and so I told her that every time she adds a new piece of clothing, she has to donate one to the Salvation Army. And today she donated my last shirt. This one's for Paul. One woman from Oklahoma, she said, "This spring the floods have been so bad that the turtles have taken off their shells and have used them as boats." How about that? Now that's really not lying, is it? That's just stretching the truth a little. It's telling a tall tale for entertainment. And so we can laugh at it and not take it so seriously. But let me say this morning in all seriousness. There is lying taking place all the time in our world that is not entertainment. It's lying that is deadly serious, and people are losing their lives in Ukraine. In this country, there are scams that are going on all the time that I know many of us are just sick of. A national survey not long ago, it said this, and I hardly believed it, but this is what it said. It said 13% of the people in America regard the Ten Commandments, only 13% regard the Ten Commandments as valid today. Then the survey went on to reveal that 90% of people felt that 90% of people, themselves included, regularly lie. Do you believe that? One writer put it this way: deception and duplicity, both in public and in private, are more widespread today than has ever been the case in the history of this land. And that's why we'll read the Ten Commandments together next Sunday, to set the record straight about right living, the way God intends us to live. There's a lot of deception that exists. So many scams. I know of a person this week who had to take their computer in to be serviced because she was hacked and her information was stolen. We have so many fraudulent emails going out to people in our world. So many fraudulent phone calls and cell calls by computer voices. Last week, I had 3 telephone calls, apparently it said, from Duke Energy, saying if I did not pay my bill immediately through pressing a number on my phone and giving them my bank information, that my electricity would be turned off. 3 times I got that call. I had to assure my wife Joyce I had paid the bill. The electricity never went off, and I've never missed a payment. Perhaps you've had that happen to you in some way or form. I've asked these callers when they call, I've often asked them, "Can you just take me off your list and don't call me again?" And I block the number, but they call back. And having read about the Liars Club one day last week, I had an idea. There was a person that called me for the 10th time asking if I wanted to put solar panels on our home. And for the 10th time, I thought about saying no, but finally I said, "You're too late. We had them installed last week and they're just wonderful." And she said, "Well, I can't see your home has them from the satellite image I'm looking at. Just take another picture. You'll see them." I had just hung up from that call, and then someone called, and they do this quite often. I don't know if that happens to you. They wanted to pay us cash for our home. They wanted to know if we wanted to sell our home. And I said to them again, thinking about the Liars Club, I said, "You're too late. We just sold it this week." And then they asked the question, "Do you have any more properties you'd like to sell?" And I said, "No, we're keeping the 2 homes we have on Clearwater Beach and the one in Key West. We're just consolidating at this point, downsizing in our older age." And then it hit me why 90% of Americans supposedly lie. And that's because it's contagious. It's contagious. Would you believe me if I said that when you begin to practice bad habits, it gets easier and easier to do that? And here's the point I really want to make this morning. Unless there is a basic level of morality and integrity, society begins to break down. It begins to break apart if there are not standards of truth. Unless people are fundamentally true to their word and honest, democracy cannot work. And we know that the more and more that people turn away from right living, the more problems we will face as a nation, the more problems we will have in our communities and our families and as individuals. What Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not 10 suggestions or just things to like. They were things for us to do God's way, not our way. And these words from Ephesians, they remind us that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Paul mentions again 4 levels of spiritual warfare that are against us in this world that we live in of stealing and lying and trying people are to take advantage of you. Our only hope is for people to stop saying, "What can I get away with?" and start saying, "What would God have me to do? What would Jesus do?" That's the way it's supposed to be. Our hope is in the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness to protect us, to protect our hearts. Allow me to offer some guidance that I was given as I was growing up and see if you think this is still true or needs to be true and practiced. They are, I believe, some spiritual principles that are based on the teachings of Scripture. 1, when no one is watching, live as if someone is. And that means we're to look at the way we're living our lives. Are we trying to take advantage of someone financially? Are we using the kind of language that we should use in private as well as in public? I hope it's not profanity. Look at how you're relating to people who are different from you in every way. How are you relating to them? I was raised to live in such a way, I've tried to practice it, but I was told by my mother over and over as I left the home, she would say, "Son, do not cause other people to stumble in what you do and what you say as a Christian." When no one is watching, live as though someone always is. 2, listen twice as much than you speak, and pray twice as much than you worry. Another way to say that is create an atmosphere of trust with people so that you find that oftentimes they seek you out to talk with you, both adults and children. That's a real compliment if they do that. Pray like crazy for all children. Kids are vulnerable. They can be exploited. And if we are subject to scams and fraud, then so are they every day of their lives. Pray that evil will be cast away from them and that they will be safe. 3, remember that the most important things in life are taught and not bought. I have found that's always the case. Self-worth and self-esteem are never dependent upon what you possess in life. What we possess is fleeting. One pastor I once knew, Art Ross, he used to say often, "I have never seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer hooked on the back of it." And then he would always say, "You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you." Another way to say that is live simply and within your limits. That's what the Christian lifestyle is all about, simple living. And what your kids, your children, your family, what they really need is not the best of everything. What they really need is your best self. Your best self. Hopefully that they can model. I want to close this morning with a story. The story about a little girl named Rosalie Elliott. She was in a national spelling bee in Washington, D.C. one year, representing her state of South Carolina. I don't know how they do it. I can't spell most of the words they're given. But she made it to the final round, and as you do that, the tension begins to build, and the words seem to get harder and harder. And she was given the word, a vowel. A vowel. The word a vowel, it means to make a declaration, to make a statement, to make an acknowledgement, a vowel. And when she had finished spelling the word, the judges, because of her soft southern South Carolina accent, they could not tell if she spelt it A-V-O-W-A-L or A-V-O-W-E-L. And so they looked at the tape recording and they listened carefully. And they still, because of her accent, she spoke so softly as well, they could not tell if she said A or E. And finally, the judge, the chief judge, John Lloyd, he decided to ask the only person in the place what she said. They asked Rosalie Elliott, did you say A or E as the next to last letter? And by the time the judge asked that question, the crowd had started to whisper, A, A. She looked at the judge, she looked at John Lloyd, and she said, sir, I'm sorry. I know that the correct letter is A, but I spell the word using the letter E. And she turned like all of them do, and she walked off that stage. The crowd sat in silence. They were stunned. And then one after the other, they began to stand and applaud that little girl in ovation and in admiration. She did what the scriptures teach us, that a little child shall lead them. Rosalie Elliott had the courage in her life to wear the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. May we have such courage to wear this armor too. Amen.